You hear that?
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
Huge crowd, massive occasion. Umpire says we're ready to go.
Ripping crowd in the MCG as well. The
crowd tells the story.
This afternoon,
unbelievable scene.
From the Sydney Showgrounds. It's two teams expecting to be there in September. The GWS Giants.
Forward to Cornelio, who goes low and hard.
Cameron out of midair.
Zach Langdon.
Kenner, he's got speed to burn. He's got options to burn.
Fantasia in the middle with a ripper.
It's the Giants.
People all around us getting excited.
And the Bombers.
It's on here, Juddy.
This
is what the crowd came to see.
It's Triple M footy.
The crowd's gone ballistic.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Come on,
this is the Sunday Run.
For the all-new Mitsubishi Triton, engineered beyond tough.
From McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, yes, it's great to be back on a Sunday. Thanks for welcoming us to wherever you are listening. We're at the newly named Giants Stadium. The Bombers taking on the Giants, and we've got a massive show coming your way. 15 minutes time, Ken Hinckley on how he's Port Adelaide derailed the Demons in round one. Eastern Wood on the Bulldogs, fantastic win over the Swans. We've got the coach, Leon Cameron, James Kelly from the Essendon Footy Club, the Big Three's back, Hot Topics, the quiz, all your regular favourites. And talking about regular favourites, I look around and, well, these are the men that were awarded Best Football Show in the World last year across all mediums. You got Wayne Schwash, you got Jay Clark, you got Wayne Carey, you got Paul Root. No, you don't have Paul Roos. There's Roosie. I'll start with you, Jay-Z. You're our newsbreaker. Where's Roosie?
He might not be part of the team this year in 2019. Negotiations are still ongoing, are they, Howie? Or do we need like a last-minute replacement?
I feel that Roosie will not be joining us this year.
Oh.
He's got other commitments, so we are in the market for a special comments operator. So if you're out there and you're special and you can make comments, maybe give us a call. Welcome to you, Jay-Z. Great to see you. The king wanders in as always. I've been walking with a different king over the summer and now I get a different king over the winter. This one just looks a bit off axis at the moment. Hello, Duck.
I'll tell you what, I came to this ground spot. I got up here early last night and, you know, just had a look around Sydney. Beautiful city, beautiful day. I get up, the sun's out, as you said, off the top. The birds are chirping.
As you said, off the top.
You can smell the clippings. You know, people are mowing their lawns and you just pray you're playing on a Wakeland today. So I'm all happy. I'm all happy. I'm on my way to the ground.
I sense a butt.
I get to Giant Stadium and I've been to stadiums all around the world, Howie. Never have I been to a stadium where I've walked around a stadium and not one person has noticed me. Would not know me if they found me in their soup. And I'm sort of looking around thinking, yeah, it's me.
Yeah, no, it's me.
No one. Not even directions to the door to get in here. I'm as flat as a tack.
Wayne Schwash is here. You've dealt with this for 20 years. Nothing's changed.
Normal. Good to have him back. Disappointed Roosie's not here, but I'm hoping that we'll have someone to fill that void next week.
We are working on that. We'll get your views at Triple M Footy on social media as to who you think should join the award-winning team on a Sunday. Firstly, before we get into the footy, everyone's summer. In a nutshell, congratulations. We have a new member of the Sunday Rub family. Duck, young
yes.
Carter
yes.
Carey. Well done,
yes.
mate.
Yes.
What's
very
the
good.
So, Carter, how old is the young bloke?
He's 6 weeks yesterday.
Right.
So, yeah, going well.
And
well,
having a boy for the first time. You've had girls in the past. How's it going?
Yeah, no, all good. Tough on him already. Very soft.
Still a push-up there. The kid's 6 weeks old.
Very soft on the girls, and Charlotte's got me wrapped around a little finger, but I'm tough on Carter already.
Right. What type of attributes is he displaying at the moment?
He's got big mitts.
Not a lot. You know what? He's very calm, so he takes after his mum, which is a good thing. Let's hope that continues.
Have the Kangaroos been on the phone about sort of 2043 or not?
Funnily enough, I caught up with Donald McDonald. Had to, as you would know, Schwatter, you know, sign a few things that they need for different functions. And
again,
he said, before Carter was even born, he said, have you got a name picked out? We'll send a Roo membership, junior Roo membership. So, no, he'll, it'll be interesting to see whether he mightn't even like footy. He might like soccer.
How will that go down?
Not well.
Well, congratulations to you, Duck Swatter. Great to see you. The last thing I saw of you on social media, you were powering way up the mountain on the magnificent Pucker Up ride you were doing alongside Scotty Cummins, who gave me some feedback that he cannot stand the sight of you after what you put him through. But how was the summer, brother?
It was good. Had a great break. Talking of soccer, my young bloke is going to play for Australia internationally in a couple of weeks.
Oh, congratulations.
For indoor soccer. So just letting all you guys know, I won't be here in 2 weeks' time for a fortnight. So looking forward to that. But the bike ride was amazing. And
for a fortnight? Was he going to the World Cup or something?
He's going to Malaysia. Right. So he needs a chaperone.
So, it's a three-day tournament.
No, it's a 13-day tournament.
Okay. Well, good luck to him.
No, thank you.
But Demir Swatter.
No. No, Doug. I'm not that
this
way.
This is for a man that's got his six-week-old.
Exactly right. So no, looking forward to that. But the bike ride was amazing. And Scotty Cummins, I love him. I love him in a lot of ways. But it may surprise you, he's not built to ride a bike 800 k's over 10 days. And the deterioration of a man who's slightly overweight and unfit over 10 days was one of my great pleasures.
How many k's?
1,800. They rode 1,800. Wow. I couldn't. I had to pull out at day four.
You came off, Swatter.
No, I didn't come off this year.
That was last year.
Why did you pull out of your own ride?
I may have had a small procedure about 8 days beforehand and never told anyone about it. So I sat on my backside. But to watch a group of 44 people commit themselves to the broader issue of suicide prevention, the riders and the staff, it was just incredible. And we exceeded everything that we hoped to achieve with the bike ride.
Nice work, Jay-Z. Big summer for you. Did you get away? Yes. Did you have any more kids?
No. Yes, we did, actually. We did have
a There you go. There's another addition to you.
Boy, that's it, though, Howie. If my wife has a fourth, it won't be mine. So that's the family is complete. Looking forward to the snip. But that
are, you going on the are you going on the table?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. Yeah, that just really make it definite.
Got the snip on Monday.
And they had to how was the recovery?
No, it's good. Fine. No worries. Yeah. I've heard different stories. By the way, we probably shouldn't even go there. Who cares whether we... But no, it's an easy procedure.
I had it. There's a setback this morning, though, Howie. You know I like getting on the road with you guys. Coming up, we jumped on the Qantas Big Bird, etc. But
how was it up the back?
How too early? How the person in front of me, the lady in front of me, 10:15, as soon as the little light went on, the seatbelt light on, boom. Reclined her seat straight away.
First time flyer, surely.
Well, maybe she'd been doing some night shift work or she was really tired or something like that, really needed a snooze. Didn't, was just happily watching TV. I was reading the paper at the time. It squashed up against my face. My knees are up around my ears. I just had no room. I had to breathe to the side, that sort of stuff.
Got to put your knee in the back of the seat, mate, early.
Yeah.
Early.
But the seats I were in, the seat doesn't have to get back. Oh, that's right. That was business.
Unprecedented. The flight attendant who come, you know, when they come down and give you a little, your bicky and your coffee and all that sort of stuff, she asked the lady to put her seat up for me, please. So she saw the distress I was in.
There you go.
In the back and rescued me. And then the lady in front of me, she gave me the daggers.
Do you go with the knees into the back straight away? Is there a series of
before
events?
It comes down.
I like the open-handed push. Just to the top of that back of the headrest. Gotta just the open-handed push.
You know what I like? We've had change. Obviously, Roosie's not with us. But what hasn't changed is when Duck makes a joke, he looks around just to get a bit of a positive affirmation that it was a little zinger away.
He's still
early.
Flat from not one person recognising the kick. Oh.
Well, it sounds like it's been a good summer. Well done to all you boys.
Had Giants tops on. They're meant to know their footy.
At the newly renamed Giants Stadium. So that was the summer. We probably need to move on to the footy. Melbourne, yesterday at the MCG, Jay-Z, you were there on the boundary for Triple M footy.
Yep.
What happened?
It was a great win from Port Adelaide. They had six new faces, four debutants, and they had all the run and carry, all the energy out there, Duck, didn't they? It was a youthful exuberance, and they came back from four goals down in the first quarter. But the big story here, Howie, was Max Gawn and the treatment of him, because Port Adelaide went after the superstar ruckman yesterday, physically targeted him, roughed him up, verbalised, were right into him. And when there was a little contest late in the second quarter where Maxie probably didn't go as hard as he should have, and Paddy Ryder did and won the footy, they just swarmed to him, Duck, didn't they? The Port Adelaide boys just got in his face, told him about it, and it's fair to say Max Gawn was well beaten yesterday.
Yeah, one team was running on top of the ground, the other one was running through the ground. I mean, they looked heavy.
How does that happen, though, Duck? For
I don't know. The one thing that we don't know, and I didn't listen to Goody after the game, we don't know what training phase they're in. Maybe they're in a phase, Swatter, that they're training harder than what they would when they're sort of 4 or 5 weeks in. So we don't know that, but they looked heavy. And Maxie, he had an off day, and he'll admit that. He was clearly a target, because even the debutants were going to him, Swatter. Mm. It was like, remember when Pago used to tell, would pick out a player in the opposition, he'd say, go, every man had to go to him at some point, except for the player playing on him.
Mm.
Well, that's what it was like yesterday. Every Port player at some point went up to Maxi and pushed him. And the surprising thing is, Maxi just copped it.
I didn't see the game. Was there any support for Max from his teammates?
No support from his teammates either.
Really?
And, and just copped it. And what often happens, when you've got a champion, and I say, well, not quite a champion yet, but he's obviously an All-Australian ruckman, very, very good player, the best ruckman in the comp. Players around you think, oh, he's big enough, he's biggest bloke on the ground. He can look after himself. But it's not the case, especially when you're just getting niggled all the time. You need support of your teammates, and he definitely didn't get that. And let's be honest, he wasn't the only one. I mean, even the great Nathan Jones, who I'm a massive fan of, he was not good yesterday.
Jack Viney.
I mean, they had a lot of good players down.
Two guys have had really interrupted summers too.
So Melbourne, for me, they looked slow, and they're not slow. Hunt showed some pace at different times, but that's about it.
This was the coach, Simon Goodwin, after the first round loss by the Demons.
Oh, it's something that we're used to. You know, Gwynny gets targeted most weeks, so you know, Max will continue to get better. He probably didn't play his best game today. We'll look to how we potentially support him better. We'll continue to look at that as a match committee, but ultimately, you know, it's not something new. It's happened for a long time now, so we'll just get better at it.
I don't think that was what Gorney's received before. That was another level. Port Adelaide took it to another level. There's no doubt about that, Schwatter. But with Braden Pruce sitting in the wings, remember Melbourne lost Dom Tyson to get Braden Pruce. They thought he was the best ruckman in the country who wasn't consistently playing AFL. Does Simon Goodwin have to change his structure to bring him in to support Max Gorn? Because on a hot day yesterday, he looked all at sea.
Oh, yeah, he did. And Schwatter, he fell over a lot.
Mm.
Fell over a lot. I know you didn't see the game, but he seemed to just have no strength. The one stage he tripped himself on a blade of grass. No one was even near him. He just fell over. So he just had a really poor day.
So Geelong's ruck on Friday night was?
Reece Stanley, who had a very good game.
Yep. But not an aggressive player. So I would imagine, look, I'm only guessing here, but I would imagine that Simon Goodwin won't have to say much to Max Gorn. Maxie would have a great deal of pride. He'd be disappointed with what happened yesterday. I would imagine that they'll back him in again. But if Geelong dish out what Port Adelaide dished out yesterday and have a similar effect, then I think you do need to think about whether or not you bring in Braden Pruce. I'm surprised, again, I didn't see the game, but I'm surprised at the lack of response from Max's teammates. That's probably the thing that bothers me the most as a teammate. If you've got a guy who's being aggressively targeted, you need support, to Duck's point before, from your teammates, and that sends a bigger message to me than Max having an off day.
Well, you called that in game, didn't you, Duck?
Yeah. Oh, well, and like I said, often players, especially when you've got a player like him, they think he can handle himself.
Mm.
But that's not the case. Everyone needs support.
I think we've got that commentary that you're referring to yesterday. This was the king on Triple M football.
They all got over to Big Maxi, did the Port Adelaide boys, Bill, and they said, you didn't go hard enough for long enough.
Targeted him.
They went after him.
Even the first gamers I've seen run up BT, and they're bumping into him. It's like, you know, we chopped down the tree.
And he looks worn down, doesn't he?
Well, let's see who stands up here.
He needs some support from his teammates.
He does. Max.
And it wasn't there. Jack Viney, I think, really late in the piece got in. But, I mean, he was having a down day too, Jack. Yeah. So there wasn't that support for him. And as you said, Schwatter, he needs to respond against
the
Cats.
Part of the challenge here, sorry, Howie, part of the challenge is a number of Melbourne players had down days. What happens when you have a down day, you start thinking about yourself, as opposed to, hang on, what's happening to our teammate? Max is a really influential, important player there. They need to be better than that.
My closing comment here, Schwatter, is just that Melbourne, their physical preparation was really compromised. 12 post-season surgeries. They obviously went to the preliminary finals, so Port Adelaide were 3 weeks advanced in their summer conditioning, and it just didn't appear like Melbourne at all had their legs yesterday.
Ken Hinckley will join us, the coach of Port Adelaide, next. We'll take a quick break. You heard the Ducks had a baby, Jay-Z had a baby, Schwatter talked about futsal. No one bothered to ask me what I'd done over the summer. Dominated the cricket, and no one even asked a single question about it. That's typical of Sunday. A classic game of football at the MCG yesterday, and Jack Watts was absolutely fantastic for his footy club and was very emotional after the game.
How are you feeling right now, mate?
Oh, yeah, it was a really tough few months, moves, to be honest. Coming up against your old mob too, some of my best mates there, and after those last few months, you know, that day is just incredible. What a fight by the boys, and
sense of relief on you, mate.
Yeah, it is. It's just pure relief. Like, you know, I had weeks where I didn't want to get out of bed, mate, and probably never, ever experienced anything like that. I'll cop more shit from people saying that I'm no good at footy for 1,000 years compared to what I've been through the last few months. So,
a very open and honest Jack Watts post-game, and he played a fantastic game down back for his footy club. And the coach, who must be extremely proud, is on the line today. Welcome to the Sunday Rub, Ken Hinckley. And Ken, congratulations to you and your entire footy club.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for having us on. And yeah, it was a terrific day for the boys, and you know, quite a significant day for us as a football club, because
before we get on to the
process.
Sorry, coach. Before we get on to the footy with Jay-Z and Duck and Schwatter, just that grab we heard from Jack Watts. What did you do as a footy club to get around and support your player? Obviously, there's some discipline involved, but it's probably more important to get around and support the player. And obviously, the club did that really well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the key. Is you first and foremost, you need to understand the circumstances. You need to understand what's going on, and you also need to be a little bit careful of what the pressure you put upon anyone who's made some mistakes in their life. And Jack would be the first one to say that he made some terrible mistakes. And you know, once he was in the space of, look, this is something that I don't want to be. I want to be something different than that. So we supported him really closely, and you know, helped him get through.
Hey, Kenny, congratulations on yesterday, mate. Fantastic win. The obvious question, the young kids that played yesterday had an immediate impact. In your wildest dreams, you couldn't have expected that.
No, back when we had, when Jeff Parker and Jason Cripps were on draft night, you know, not that long ago, about 4 or 5 months back, and you get 3 picks in the top, you know, the first round. You expect them the 1-2, you know, if you possibly play in round one, you certainly don't in your wildest dreams think you're going to get 3 of them come up and they'll all be there on round one. And then we also added Will and Brew to that. So we get 4 debutants going out there. But not one of those boys didn't deserve to play. And I think that was really important for us as a footy club. We wanted to make sure that we backed in the right type of commitment to our football team. And if you were displaying that, you deserve to get picked no matter what age you were.
Hey, Kenny, congratulations. It's Swatter here. On Thursday night or whenever you decided to make the final selection for the team, is it a brave decision to bring in so many first gamers for a season opening round?
I don't know, Swatter. I mean, it looks like it. Sometimes you look back and go, oh, you've got 4 first gamers playing against a really experienced Melbourne team, and, you know, there's some risk in that. But as I said, the work that they'd put in and the work that they'd done and the commitment they'd made to the footy club from the day they arrived, it's been first class. So, as I said, if we're going to be a footy club that stands for anything, we want to stand for a team that picks people on merit. And it doesn't matter what age you are and what stage you are in your career, you deserve to play, you get picked.
Ken, it's Jay Clark here, mate. We talked off the top about Max Gawn and how your new ruckman Scotty Lysett and Paddy Ryder beat him in the ruck battle yesterday. The targeting that went out there, the physical stuff, clearly there was a lot of verbal. Is that something that comes from you, or is it more sort of natural and instinctive from the leadership out, you know, from the players?
No, I think we certainly help the boys and guide the boys, but the players have to do things themselves out on the ground more so than ever before now because of, you know, the runner rules and the different changes we have. So the players play that on themselves, but Scotty was the one who probably drove it as much as anyone from, you know, there's been a bit too much made of the targeting of Max Gawn, I reckon. It's just more about we wanted to make sure we give Scotty and Paddy a hand to take on what we would think is the premier ruckman in the competition. So that was more what the focus was. And Scotty spoke to the team and spoke to the boys before the game and said, look, if you can help me, I'll do my absolute best with Paddy to do this job. But if you can help and support, that would go a long way towards making the job a bit easier.
And what was your take on the performance, the battle itself? I mean, for a bloke playing his first game at his new club, you must have been absolutely wrapped.
Yeah, look, we're pretty excited to get Scotty home, I've got to say. And, you know, he sort of snuck under the radar, I reckon, at West Coast because he was always in Nick Nat's shadow a little bit. But it was pretty clear to us that he was a pretty dominant ruckman. If you look at last year's performances at the end of last year with the West Coast, he took on Grundy, took on Gawn, basically with support of their other ruck, Vardy, and done an enormous job. And they were, you know, 2 big scalps and went a long way towards winning a premiership for the West Coast.
Hey, it was a big win yesterday, Kenny. Post-game, you described that as the best win in your time as senior coach. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I just think, you know, because we've had some big wins, you know, and you've got to be careful when you say things like that. But I think it's been all around the whole commitment that I've just spoken about and the connection between the players and the club. And as coaches, we went down a different path and we went after a different way of playing. And now you can't get that unless you get complete buy-in. And I just felt like, you know, we had complete buy-in as a football club yesterday. We were almost had a free hit because most people were tipping Melbourne were going to win comfortably. And And the odds would suggest that. For us, we were just about wanting to make sure we stood for something and that we were going to do what we said we would do. And I think that was really important to the players and, you know, a young group. It was a pretty big day for us as a footy club.
Oh, I never lost the faith in you, Kenny. I got the power in the eight, mate. Don't worry about that. You just touched on it then, the way you want to play, the change in game style. Last year, it did seem like the power had trouble scoring, but from all the glimpse we had yesterday, there did seem to be more attack, more aggression, more run and courage with the football. Is it right you want to be more free-flowing and score more this year?
Yeah, but we haven't hidden from the fact that we'd like to play a little bit more bold and be a bit more aggressive with the way we move the ball, but you know, we've got to be very mindful we don't undo ourselves defensively. And that was another key thing for us yesterday, is that we were able to attack quite aggressively. But, you know, after the first quarter, I think they kicked three of the first four goals. We were able to hold Melbourne to 60-odd points, which is still a great defensive effort by a team. So we didn't lose almost our heartbeat of our team, as that's our defence. But our offence was able to quicken up with some support.
We're speaking to the coach of the Port Adelaide Footy Club, Ken Hinckley, on the Triple M Sunday Rub. Coach, just before we let you go, we hear over the off-season about professional development for coaches and all sorts of courses and trips and travel. How do you, over the off-season, go about trying to improve yourself as a coach?
Yeah, well, certainly in the last off-season, I travelled to with Chris Davies and Michael Voss. We travelled to Chicago and did a course, a Kellogg's course, business course and in leadership, and it was a really, really good course for us, and we've implemented a lot out of that. I haven't been one who's done too much of that in the past, but I really did enjoy it this year, and it's something that I'm sure for most coaches who do quite a bit of it, I think it's a real opportunity for us to develop ourselves as people and probably more than anything as leaders, and not necessarily just leaders of young men who play sport, leaders of an organisation. I think it's been really worthwhile for us.
Hey, Kenny, am I right in also saying that you've brought in Hugh van Kolenberg from the Resilience Project to do some work with the group?
Yeah, you've got some information that's correct there. Yeah, we're doing some work there in that space.
How's that been going?
That's been fantastic. It's been outstanding, to be honest. It's a great course, as I'm sure if you understand a little bit. It's just simply about a little bit of gratitude in your life and, you know, what is going okay for you. And I think for us, some of the timing of some of the stuff we brought in this year with Hugh has been quite first class for some of our players. You know, talk about Jack at the start of the interview, and then our younger boys coming through and some of our players who have been challenged over the journey. I think, and for me as coach and for all the staff that work there, I think it's a fantastic course and something that's really worthwhile for us.
Coach, we really appreciate it. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Great to speak to Kenny Hinckley. That was a fantastic win. Eastern Wood in 20 minutes time. Then the coach of the Giants, Leon Cameron, James Kelly from the Essendon Footy Club. Something popped up on my radar this week. I've been away, but I came back and there was a storm on social media. The Channel 7 front bar ran what I found a very entertaining clip. Long time ago, Gary Lyon hosting his first television show, and one of his first guests was a bloke straight out of Wagga by the name of Wayne Carey. Really? Have a listen to this.
This morning, my very special guest is North Melbourne's champion young centre-forward, Wayne Carey. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Thanks, Gary. Great to be here.
Wayne Shawbush, a new coach down there at North Melbourne. Now, we all know that Shimmer used to play it pretty tough. What's he like to be coached by?
He's a great coach. We're training fairly hard down there. You know. It's a good win against Richmond a few weeks ago, and things are going well.
We play that in slow motion.
He's reading off a script.
That's pre-prepared.
That
bloody
is
boring.
That's Gary Lyon.
That is
real dull stuff.
That
right
is line and length. That is a Wagga boy. That is a. By the way, Gaz is not too quick himself. There is he? Nice. It is. That's quite embarrassing, isn't
just
it?
Just give me 10 more seconds.
This morning, my very special guest is North Melbourne's champion young centre-forward, Wayne Carey. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Thanks, Gary. Great to be here.
That'll do. All right, take it away, Doug.
No, well, it's embarrassing listening back to that, but I was 17, 18 years of age, probably my first ever interview, and I was straight out of Wagga. So Melbourne was like New York to me.
The end of the clip, Gary thanks you for coming on the show and gives you a Coca-Cola T-shirt for coming on the show.
I know, and I think, oh, thanks, Gary.
Campbell on to Hawkins. Hawkins at 45 metres, bending, bouncing, and goalie!
4-1 makes 5 in my book.
And your book.
They're a fair way out now, Port Adelaide.
Bottom of the pack, Shaggy got it up. A little snap by Lloyd. A little snap by Lloyd, I think he's got it.
Gets it to Imira for the icing again, second time. And he's jagged it. Standing start, 45, and the Hawks are home.
Another little slight hand. Cam Rayner, more icing on the cake for the Lions.
at the MCG, win their first game of the year.
Final siren sounds. Port have won.
It's a big win here for the Hawthorn up against the side that's been touted as a premiership contender.
Famous victory for the Dogs. They hung on.
The Brisbane Lions, what a win against the reigning premier.
Good luck to the tipsters. Welcome back to the Sunday Rub for the Mitsubishi Triton. This is the Triple M Sunday Rub, the all-new Mitsubishi Triton, engineered beyond tougher at the newly named Giants Stadium, previously known as Spotless, home of the Sydney Thunder and obviously the GWS Giants. Nice ground, very warm day here. We'll get to the match shortly, but by gee, gentlemen, we've got Wayne Schwoss alongside myself, Mark Howard. What was the biggest upset? Port over Melbourne, Hawthorn over the Crows, the Dogs over the Swans, Cats over the Pies, or Brisbane taking down the West Coast Eagles? Good luck, tipsters.
Brisbane over the Eagles for me, but they're all upsets. I mean, I thought it was a pretty easy week.
Yep.
Given if you're going off last year, I thought it was a pretty easy week to tip this week. And I've got one, Howie, Richmond.
Richmond.
That's the only winner that I've tipped. And you know what? It just goes to show that what are those teams that have had the extra month in preparation and for whatever reason
have jumped out.
But for whatever reason, you tend to just forget about that. But it is an extra month that they've had in their preparation for the start of the season.
I'm a bit split. I reckon Hawthorn's win in Adelaide yesterday was
big.
They've
got a good record there.
Yeah,
though.
But I slightly favour Geelong's upset win on Friday night at the MCG.
Four debutants.
Changing personnel. Collingwood coming off a grand final loss. A lot spoken. Dane Beams is playing for the Pies, all that sort of stuff. Their win was outstanding.
Pretty Port was just as big as well. I mean, who really gave Port a chance yesterday on the MCG?
No.
With four debutants.
Port supporters.
Or Brisbane over the Eagles after the Eagles kicked 6-1 in the first quarter.
Yeah, I reckon Brisbane at home are always a tough challenge.
True. Jay-Z, just before we get too far into the minutiae of it all, where did you finish in the Herald Sun tipping last year?
Second row, I think.
Second row.
Top 10.
All right, your aim is to finish top row, otherwise you're starting to damage our Sunday Rub brand. Uh-huh. So, Duck, I want you to keep an eye on it this year, where Jay is sitting on the... How many you got so far?
Just the one.
Right, so not an exact...
Not a great start. But the good thing is, most people wouldn't have had a great start.
No.
So everyone will be equal.
I think the kiss of death will be leading the Herald Sun tipsters after the first round, which is impressive. The two most significant things from this discussion for me, boys, is the makeover in style of Geelong. Because if there was a discussion that Chris Scott was being pretty stubborn last year in the way he wanted to play, they weren't putting on that forward pressure that the rest of the comp had been doing, in particular Bulldogs and Richmond. We saw with Gary Rowan, with Luke Dalhouse, with Tom Atkins, who could become the next Max Rook, really, at Catland, there was that ferocity and temperature which went up in that forward half. They want to play footy games in the forward half of the ground. And when you see the Ablett's on song playing his role, Selwood more of a wing, Dangerfield being a superstar, and Tim Kelly now announcing himself as the top midfielder amongst that crew, Brandon Parfitt emerging. Duck, I'm starting to think that I've underrated Geelong this preseason.
The message that Chris Scott sent was a profound one, and it was about 4 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go, Swatter. Neither Selwood, neither Dangerfield, Duncan, Kelly, all young kids. He had all the young kids in that centre bounce. So that sort of tells you where they want to develop these kids. And I agree that all of those players you mentioned have got speed. And it was a different look, wasn't it? They look quick. And I tell you what about Clark?
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like
number six.
He looks like a ready-made player already. He's brave. He's got dash. And he's just got a confidence about him already.
Your greatest strength is, as a coach, I've never coached, right? But their greatest strength is often their greatest weakness. And sometimes coaches are quite stubborn or reticent to make changes. But one of the benefits we've just spoken to Kenny Hinckley, made significant changes, personnel and game plan. Chris Scott made significant changes. And the thing that I really like about having the guns, which you always know what you'll get from Ablett, Selwood, Dangerfield, when they're not the dominant figures in the middle of the ground, you're actually advancing the development and confidence of your younger players.
Exactly.
That gives them the belief that, hey, when I get my opportunity in here, it might be 5 or 6 minutes, I can contribute. That takes enormous pressure off those three stars.
The other thing with the new rules, and BT had a go at me yesterday because I keep saying this 6-6-6 rule, I'm a massive fan, Swatter.
I'm with you.
I really love it. And it will only get better. I mean, the skill level of this first round has been putrid. And I mean putrid.
But
I
is
mean,
that a surprise, though?
No, no. Well, yeah, I don't know. Just because it's first round, you shouldn't fumble or kicks go off the side of your boot. But anyway, so the skill level hasn't been great. But the reason why I love it is because we're going to see, and I'll tell you what we'll see today. We'll see the likes of Tipper Moody. Mm. We'll see the Fantasias. We'll see Sards. We'll see those guys get opportunities in the middle, which they never would have got normally, Howie. So we're going to get these guys. He'll rotate. I'll take note today. Where's Chu Man? Oh, that's right. We didn't bring him up. But take note.
He could have gone as carry-on too.
Got a bit of extra cash because Roosie's not here.
The Chu Man could use his carry-on luggage as well.
Luggage.
He's under the 7-kilo limit.
I'm going to be really overworked today. But you'll see him throw it around today. It'll be interesting to see how many guys go through the centre of the ground for the Bombers today in particular.
Really interesting with a 6-6-6. Watching on telly, I don't think you notice much difference. Watching at the ground, you notice a massive difference. The Hawks getting the job done over Adelaide yesterday. The Wolpedo, very good. And Jager O'Meara looking to stamp himself on the competition.
Equally significant. I think when Tom Mitchell went down, we all put a line through the Hawks. But this was a massive statement in enemy territory against the team was probably the hype team of the summer, really, Adelaide. There's been a lot of respect for them, clearly. And as you said, James Warple, 27 possessions alongside O'Meara, who's probably become Hawthorn's most important player this year. And he's going to cash in with a new contract. I mean, you just start to think they've got such a soft first month, Hawthorn, leading into the Easter Monday blockbuster against Geelong in round five. They could be 4-0, 5-0.
What's their next month of footy then, Jay-Z?
Let me just have a look now.
They've got the Bulldogs next week.
Western Bulldogs.
It won't be easy.
That's our Sunday game too. Nice.
Yep.
North Melbourne round three. St Kilda round four, Geelong round five, and Carlton round six. They could easily be 5-1, and at that point, fellas, they'll have Tom Scully back, potential All-Australian wingman. So I think what Clarko's doing again, and they've been in the finals for such a long time, your mob, Howie, just so much respect for how they just continue to reinvigorate.
That is a soft start for a team that finished in the finals last year. Mm. When you look at Collingwood.
Finished top four, they must have a tough run at some point.
Collingwood's gets first harder. 3 weeks, you know, obviously Richmond next Thursday night, and then they play West Coast the week after. Yep. They could be 0-3.
But the Warpedo, like he was a bloke, speaking to the guys.
One of the
Geelong
great
Falcons,
nicknames in footy.
It is good, isn't it? You call it well, Howie. The Geelong Falcons had to plead with clubs to have a look at him, have a chat to him, because he's maybe a bit sluggish or
I didn't come up with it.
Doesn't use the footy as well. But they get him with what? Pick 40, and he steps straight up for Tommy Mitchell, and that's 27 possessions in his second season.
One game.
Yeah, I mean, that is the overall. We've got to remember not to jump on too hard or jump off too hard. The Bombers today.
Yep.
This is a footy club that comes into the season with massive expectations. They've got a few outs too. No Danaher and no Hooker, which will hurt them. The bookends at either end.
Hey, just on Joe Danaher. I haven't heard your take. Been a little bit preoccupied in the last couple of weeks. Yep. But what's your position with regards to the injury and the way that that's been managed the off-season?
Yeah, he coming back from the groin and then got a kick to the calf, which blew up as a strain. So, look, I take Joe and Essendon on the face value. They're adamant that it is a calf. There's been lots of discussion that it wasn't that. There's maybe just a fitness thing or a groin thing. I believe he's got a sore calf and he needs to do basically another mini preseason to get back up to speed. But look, they've been woeful in the preseason, Essendon. They've clearly been the biggest disappointment of the JLT series. And it's going to be so interesting to see what they dish up today, because after missing finals last year and losing a final the year before, the supporter base of this footy club wants some uplift.
But are you putting too much weighting on preseason form?
I'm just saying their past fortnight's been putrid.
Yeah, it's practice, man.
Don't worry about the preseason form. Getting back to Joe Danaher, there's not too many players that I've seen, Swatter, that can miss big chunks of the preseason and then end up having a good year.
Yeah, I agree.
You're chasing your tail for the whole year. Yep. So, you know, if you do the whole preseason, you don't miss a session, and then you get an injury early, you're okay because you've done the whole block. But if you miss any of that block and get injured, and don't do the majority of it, you really are pushing uphill.
Well, he played in the two games and looked a mile off it. And he kicked one goal. I think one game had seven possessions. So he clearly not ready. You're right. There's not conditioning there. He missed the bulk of last year and he's behind the eight ball this season, clearly.
Giant Stadium, the newly named. And, well, their media manager, Lee Merrick's, rolled in and provided sort of a cupcake setup that Swatter's now into. What do you think?
Well, I've had mine. And I'm into ducks.
Right, so
bloody good.
Reasonably positive then. I like the name Giant Stadium too. It's got a good feel to it, Jay-Z, I think, up here.
Okay, not bad.
Very, not happy with it.
Very creative.
He's dirty, no one recognised him.
Yeah, round one I thought we'd stay positive, but apparently not. Talking about positive, the Bulldogs yesterday, last evening, a great win at Marvel Stadium in a pulsating game. They dominated the first half. The Swans came back, looked like they were going to get it done, and then the Dogs steadied for a 17-point win, and the skipper of the wonderful Western Bulldogs Footy Club is on the line, Easton Wood. Hello, Easton, how are you?
Great, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to speak to you. 10 minutes to go after you dominated the first half. How are you feeling?
Yeah, a bit nervy. They were certainly coming right at us. And we always knew that Sydney were going to do that. You know, they're a great team. And you can't keep them down for long. So it was just great to see that the boys were able to stem it in the end. And, kick a couple at the end to ice the game. It was just
great. Easton, Jay Clark here, mate. The big story for me was Aaron Norton. We know he's a gun, young centre-half back. It will certainly have been that. But he gets swung forward. You guys had been struggling to kick some goals last season. And his performance last night, 3 goals, 2, 6 marks, 15 possessions, certainly amongst the Brownlow votes. How pleased were you for a young bloke to stand up and provide a target like he did last night?
Oh, absolutely, Raph, Jay. Yeah, he's been fantastic all pre-season, but he's played every bit of the pre-season as a defender. And some of the stuff he was doing over the summer, he was catching everything at training and making some of our forwards look a bit silly at times. And we really looking forward to him doing that during the year. And then we swung him forward in the JLT, and he's provided a real focal point for us up there. He's got such a good pair of mitts on him, and he's only young, but he's got this unbridled confidence, mate, where he just says, kick it to me, put it in my area, and I'll kind of do the rest. And that's
Wayne Carey like
it. Wonderful to, yeah. It's just wonderful to have that kind of confidence up there, and it's great to see him be able to, really hit the scoreboard and have that real presence for us up there.
Hey, Easton, I'd also imagine that you and the group and the coaching panel will be delighted with Tommy Liberatore's return.
Oh, it's just fantastic to have him back. He's had a great summer. He's looked great, but it was great to see him put it all together and, just to have his grunt out there. And he gets to so many different contests. He's able to just to keep going. He never gives up. And, it's wonderful to be playing out there with him again.
Yeah, he played a great game, Easton. How are we here? We're speaking to Easton Wood, the captain of the Western Bulldogs Footy Club. Before Duck hits you up, what were the general thoughts amongst the boys when Libba rolled up with the Simpsons-style tattoos?
They love it, mate.
Do they?
It's just another, yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of Simpsons fans down at the Footy Club, and obviously none more than Libba, and in his own weird and wonderful way, it's his little tribute, and it's great to see. I certainly wouldn't be doing it myself. But not your go.
For me, he's almost, I don't know, I mean, I'd love to get to know Libba, because he's a bloke who I don't reckon any of us outside the Footy Club. No, and he's been on such a journey, best and fairest winner, two knees, obviously, and a lot of swirling discussion about his commitment to footy or his preparation. You know, did he lose his way? Easton, can you tell us from a captaincy point of view what this roller coaster ride has been like for Tommy Liberatore? Because he signed a one-year deal, which seemed like it was the club essentially putting him on notice. You know, get things into gear, Tommy, or we don't know what your footballing future is. How's he been travelling?
Well, it just seems, mate, particularly in the last little while, that I think Liver's just seemed really comfortable in his own skin, and he's realised that the footy club, it's his home. And it's just great to see that he's been so comfortable and happy within himself, and he's been able to get the most out of himself on the track. I think the ability to, you know, to be fit and be able to be out there and do every session and get amongst it has been great, and you should see the energy that he gives to, particularly the young boys. They absolutely love him and hang off every word he says. He's a real character, as you would imagine, within the change rooms. And just great to see him be able to put it all together and have a great performance on the weekend.
Hey, Easton, on to the important stuff. I didn't see too much of the game, but were you miffed by all of the hullabaloo about the Guernsey? And obviously Thor was there last night, Matt Damon. He had some Hollywood stars to show off to last night, but were you miffed about the Guernsey? It actually made you look more muscly.
Look, Doug, I'll be honest, when we the club brought it to us and thought asked us what we thought, whether we thought it was a good idea or not. And I'm a pretty big nerd, mate. I'm a big Marvel fan. I thought it was great. So when they released it online, I was expecting to have, you know, people have the same reaction. And when it kind of blew up, and I've never got more feedback online in my entire life. just copping it left, right, and centre was, yeah, missed is definitely the word. I couldn't believe it. So that's why it was great to be able to go out there, mate. I thought it looked good, and
yeah, I liked
and come away with a win and be able to, you know, silence a few of those people.
Having a chat with the captain of the Bulldogs, got it done by 17 points last night against the Swans, Easton Wood. Hey, Easton, I love behind the scenes as a former player. We don't often get that chance, but I do think clubs are getting really good at it now. And I saw a great video during the week, and that was Bailey Smith's dad being invited to present his jumper to his son in front of the playing group. How the hell his dad didn't cry has got me beat, because I bawled my eyes out. That was a really touching moment, I thought.
Yeah, it's been really special. Through different times, we've got ex-players to come and present their jumpers, but where we've been able to getting a father to present their son with their first game jumper is a truly special moment. You're right, I'm not sure how he did hold the tears back, because there's so much work that goes into that, and you could imagine how proud as a father you would be already of your son getting to the AFL, but presenting that first game jump is something quite special, and I know both of them will never forget it for as long as they live.
Easton, as we let you go, Duck mentioned the fact Matt Damon was there and big Chris Hemsworth. Do they sort of come down to the rooms and press the flesh, or are they a bit more elite than that?
I actually heard a whisper that they might have had a little bit too much booze to be allowed down in the rooms. But there's a couple of the boys, Lin Jong and Fletch Roberts, bumped into them in the lift on the way down, and Fletch mentioned that Matt Damon said to them that, "You guys are awesome." So they were pretty, they came down and they said they felt like the real winners of the night, mate.
Easton, we appreciate it. You got the Hawks. We'll be covering that next Sunday. So look forward to that. Congratulations. And enjoy the week with a win under your belt.
Will do, mate. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, great to speak to the captain of the Western Bulldogs, Easton Wood. You're right about Tom Liberatore. In my time in footy, I reckon I interviewed him in the rooms after the premiership, and that's the only time I've ever spoke to him. He's elusive.
We don't know what kind of person he is, I don't reckon. So it'd be great to see a bit more of his personality, because behind the scenes, the players absolutely love him.
Was one of those other tattoos, if I got this wrong, but he had the Simps. Did he have a Cadbury fruit nut?
Chocolate bar.
Chocolate bar.
where are they tattooed? On his
arms. On his arms. Like here, he's two got Simpsons characters.
Cadbury fruit and nut, like bar, tattooed on his arm.
So on his shoulder?
No, on his forearm.
On his bicep.
So which Simpsons characters?
It's a really obscure. It's a Homer one, and where he's with the teenage sort of ice cream vendor or something like that.
There's
it's like a really bizarre.
There's your Triple M Sunday challenge. You've got 21 weeks, 22 weeks plus finals to one-on-one.
Yep. With Libba.
Yep.
All right.
I'd be fascinated.
Howie's Hot Topics.
Smash hit of last year, probably why we won all those awards. But before we get to the Hot Topics.
And Roosie left.
Yeah. I need to get to the bottom of that, but we are in the midst of negotiations. Yeah.
Are we allowed to call him? Maybe we should just call him.
He's in Hawaii.
Right. Okay.
He's not in Hawaii. He is back from Hawaii. A little bit of selection news, Jay-Z, before the Hot Topic.
The last game of the round, Fremantle versus North Melbourne. Just some whispers, some doubts over North Melbourne fullback Benny Mackay. He's had gastro throughout the week. They're going to give him a late fitness test, so North Melbourne could lose. Maybe another key defender. Of course, Majak Dawe, Scott Thompson, both won't be out there.
I loved calling Friday night to see the great Gary Ablett in action. I love the man. I'll put it on the table. We'll start with you, Swatter. Finish the sentence. An interesting one on Hot Topics. Gazza is?
Champion.
Perfect. Jay-Z, Gazza is?
Not as entertaining as his father.
Gee, talk about sucking out the lemon. Duck, Gazza is?
Champion.
Good, I like it. So why do people boo him at the footy?
Because he's a champion.
Yeah. Why do we boo champions?
They don't like him.
Because they're dingbats.
There you go. You might have summarised it right there. The theme jumper. You mentioned it earlier on, Duck, so we'll start with you. The theme jumper, the Thor. Years ago, Carlton had the light blue M&M jumper. Mm. Themed jumpers. We'll probably see more of it.
I liked it.
You like it? Yeah. You like that jumper, or you like theme jumpers?
I like that jumper, and I don't mind theme jumpers. The clubs have to do things to earn money, and I don't see that. The kids would love that jersey. The fact that they've had a good win as well. It's almost a collector's item, Swatter.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Theme jumpers?
Well, my I sat down with my kids to watch that game, and both of my girls asked me repetitively, what's the jumper about? I didn't have the answer. Now I get it, so it makes sense. I'd reverse it. I'm old-fashioned. I love the old Fitzroy jumper, the old traditional jumpers. If you want to have theme rounds, go back to the good old days when we had the traditional jumper.
I don't mind that, Jose.
I like them because I really like the theme jumpers in the NBA, where they mix it up a bit and go retro or, you know, different sort of things. I don't mind that as a bit of a novelty here and there. You know, I thought the jumper looked okay. Thor jumper looked okay.
Obviously, yeah. I'm a Hawks fan, but I reckon Hawthorn once again delivered, as only they can, the worst jumpers ever. They've had that check thing they rolled out yesterday.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay. Duck, highlight of your summer?
Oh, obviously the birth of Carter.
Perfect. Jay-Z?
The beaches down the southern part of WA. Best in the world, I reckon.
I spent some time down there. Very nice. Very sharky, though. Schwatter?
I have to say the bike ride, Howie.
The bike ride was your highlight of the summer? Yeah. Finish this sentence for me, Wayne. Over the summer, I had one too many...
Duck?
No, we'll give Duck think time.
One too many bike rides.
Right. Jay-Z?
Beers, probably.
Yeah, I think probably looking
at I'd agree with that.
Duck?
Yeah, I'd say the same.
It was great to see...
Hey, hold on.
What about you?
What about you?
Yeah. Over the summer, I had one too many...
Test matches?
Games of cricket?
Flights. One too many flights, I reckon. Yeah. Hey, great to see Matt Damon living it up with Gil McLaughlin and Chris Hemsworth there last night. Duck, if someone was to play you in a movie, who would it be?
It'd be a young Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Jeez, he's a knob. Not Mel Gibson I'm talking about now. I like it. Jay-Z?
I would say Sam Pang. Not because not because of how funny he is, because he's extraordinarily funny.
Yeah.
But it has been put to me before that there is some resemblance there.
Yeah, I can see a little bit of that.
Asian looking.
Yeah, I can see that. Schwatter?
Jim Carrey, because I'm not quite sure which personality he's in.
Right, that's a good
I could be a little bit, Howie? You know, burst borderline.
Oh, unfortunately, I get a lot of Owen Wilson.
Ellen.
I do get a lot of Owen Wilson. Oh, I can cop that.
Yeah.
Tommy Hawkins celebrated his 499th goal by showing that he had a baby, rocking the baby, the cradle. Mm. Do we like a specific goal celebration, Swatter? Personally, yes, love it.
One that sticks in my mind, which I wasn't a fan of during my playing days, was Big Short's aeroplane, Daniel Harford, the aeroplane.
The aeroplane.
Yeah.
As a rule, goal celebration?
Oh, I don't mind it. I mean, let them express themselves.
Jay-Z?
Yeah, I like them. I like Timmy Cahill's, you know, corner flag boxing thing. Not much. Brett Lee's chainsaw, not as good. Hmm. But I did like Timmy Cahill's.
Players showing their personality, it's all good for me. You want to see it. We don't want to see robots out there.
What did you do? You used to do the point, didn't you? You used to point.
Yeah.
That was to me for saying delivery was perfect.
I don't think I had a sort of a regular one.
But would have had to do it 700 times. That's what he was going to say next.
What about the point, I'm sure.
Do you remember the old Mark Williams shotgun?
Oh, yeah.
That probably
Alex
wasn't
Fasolo.
So good. Yeah. Faz had a couple in there as well. Final one for you. Unfortunately, on Friday night, Tom Brown hosted the mid-show break, okay? Mm. So I went to have a chat with Das. I came back and I went to put my binoculars to my eyes to call the third quarter.
To a caller.
And a chewing gum was in my binoculars and therefore in my eye. In the eye of my binoculars. He put used...
That is disgusting.
Chewing gum. I thought it was Nathan Brown because that's the type of infantile thing
he would do. He had chewy in his mouth and he put his chewy in the eye bit of your binoculars.
Yes. Yeah. Left it there. I thought it was Brownie because that's the type of thing he would do. Punishment. Punishment. Sanctions.
Oh, sacked.
I don't mind that. Gone.
Did he know that he was doing it?
I don't know with Tom. You don't know. Well, I think he did.
Why didn't he just do what we all do and stick it under the table?
good point. So you reckon sack him? Sanction, Duck?
Ah, nah. You're allowed to make a mistake by that.
No sanction for
you. And the fact that it was yours.
It gets him a credit.
I reckon you need to handcuff him to a treadmill. Turn it up high and just make him run for a bit. Because if you've seen Tommy lately, he sort of...
Geez, whiz. That's Interesting set of punishes.
Are you and Tom okay?
Are you and Tom okay?
You're
a pertinent question given your response to the punishment.
I just think that he could do with some exercise.
Do we need to get you two in the teepee?
No.
You need to have a chat.
Not at all.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Smoke the pipe?
Chewy in your binocular.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got it in my eyeball. Revolting.
Eyeball of Chewy.
Did you use your binoculars once it was taken out and you cleaned?
I did, but you know what it's like? Putting Chewy in a bloke's binoculars, I think you're one step away from pooing on his doorstep.
That's pretty much where I see
this going. A lot of discussion about the injuries that they've had in the off-season, the Saints. They've been unlucky too with McCartan with concussion, obviously Dylan Robertson with a heart issue, Carlisle with a back complaint. But a lot of the discussion, fairly or unfairly, Jay-Z has revolved around the recruiting of Daniel Hanbury.
Yeah, it was really interesting that Alan Richardson came out during the week and said that basically his legs were really struggling with the training load and that he needed to be rebuilt, in quotes, is what Alan Richardson said. So, look, it could be another month or two before we see Daniel Hanbury, who came across on a five-year sort of $750,000 a season deal. Another 2 months possibly before we see him out there. And for me, you know, that's a really big disappointment. Alan Richardson said we were aware of his issues when we got him, so this is all expected and no great surprise. But I tell you what, there was a fair bit of pessimism, cynicism, surprise around the recruitment of Daniel Hanbury on such a big deal. And I think sort of the critics or the naysayers at the moment would be feel pretty validated because it hasn't been a great start to his new life at the Saints, are we? Was he 27-ish, 26?
Probably. Yeah. It's probably also a cumulative effect of the way that he's played his footy for his entirety of his career. Yeah, it's the style of footy that he's played. So that's the modern game.
He's a running machine, and he's been a great player at Sydney. I think the question mark, fairly or unfairly, is
he's an inside mid who runs a lot, and I think he's paying a heavy price.
But can he recapture his best day? His best footy behind?
I read Damien Barrett's article late last year or early this year, whenever it was, and it was an interesting article because he went into depth a little bit about the injury that he got in that grand final, Swatter. And he said his body really hasn't been the same since then. And interesting word, rebuilt. I wouldn't think that you'd need to rebuild him. But I guess when you sign a guy on that sort of money, Swatter, and it's over 5 years, then they want to get it right this time.
Yep.
There's no point. And I think what Dan's done, I'm a fan of Hanbury. I think he's a gun player. He's a three-time All-Australian. He's a premiership player. But they've clearly, the Swans, clearly tried to bring him back when he wasn't right, so he's playing injured, and that's what he's done over the last year and a half. So clearly the St Kilda now said, well, no more of that. We got to get you right. We're in it for the long haul, 5 years. If you don't play until halfway through this year, then it's halfway through this year. But they're not going to play him in 4 weeks.
Correct.
If he's not 100%. Yeah. So I like the fact that they're going down that path, because let's be honest, we're talking about a guy's livelihood here. He's a very good player, and they've got to get him right.
Duck, moving on from Dan Hanbury, we walked in today and you were talking about how impressed you were with the debutants and how ready they are to go in AFL football. But then you finished that sentence with a but that interested me, big man.
Well, I think it, what it shows, Swatter, is I don't want to use the word, I'll use the word thin, how thin our competition is, the fact that these kids can come in and have an immediate impact as they do. I mean, a lot of the times it's kids playing against other kids. So that's why they have the ability. I can't remember, certainly during the 90s, you wouldn't have kids coming in and doing what these kids are doing now. And I think it's the dilution of our comp, because we have 18 teams now, it's just not as strong. I don't think the competition's as strong.
Standard-wise,
no, I don't think it is. And that's why these kids can come in and have an immediate impact.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I think since we brought in GWS and the Gold Coast, there has been a thinning of the talent pool, and players are getting games much earlier. Players are getting games that they possibly don't deserve, but I guess that's the nature of the business nowadays. But also wonder whether or not it's the style and the way that football is now played. I mean, I think the play that comes to mind, Duck, for mine, the most recent one, for a young draftee coming in having a big impact was Juddy.
Yeah.
And he was one out of the box, an immediate impact. But the game and the talent pool was very different. So I think that, look, in saying all of that, I do think that it's great that these kids are coming in and they're having the output in 1 week that they have over the
game is different. The game is quicker. It is quicker, so the game is different. So yes, we're not comparing apples with apples. But
Sam Walsh, I think, ran the most kilometres for Carlton Thursday night.
What was exciting about all the debutants this weekend was the way they just took the game on and the real leg speed. And I'll tell you what, some of the boys yesterday, Port Adelaide, gee, they went in hard too. They really attacked the footy. It was good to see.
Nice now to have on the boundary line the coach of the GWS Giants, Leon Cameron. Howie here, Leon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Howie.
Excited? Round one? All the talking is done and finally you get to see your boys out there in action.
Yeah, absolutely you do. And Sunday you're sort of waiting around. There's five or six games done and last three to happen today. So, yeah, it's sort of a long, long wait and clearly players are frustrated and with us because they want to play earlier. They don't want to play against each other. You get a bit irritable that last week or two. So, yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good playing, obviously, a really quality opposition in Essendon. And, it's so unknown because, they've added some more players to their footy club. So, exciting times for day.
Talk about big bodies, Bakes.
You're talking about yourself, don't you?
I was just talking about the kids that came into the footy. Do you remember the day that they lined you up on me at 10 o'clock? I just started licking my lip.
About 81 kilos, yeah. About 100, wasn't it? But anyway.
What's embarrassing about that, Leon? I reckon we had you on five Sundays last year, which is very generous. And that has always been first question.
Hey, we've always got to reminisce in this game, don't we?
Exactly.
But Leon, tell us about Tim Taranto. He's the man who's really been identified as the one who's going to step up in your midfield group, having lost Dylan Shield to the other mob over summer. Tell us about his pre-season. How ready is this man? Because anyone who knows him said he is as skillful footballer as there is.
Yeah, Jay, look, he third year, as you pointed out, he started... and I just heard the back conversation about the first years over the weekend. And, some of the first years that come into every footy club, you get the ones that obviously got big motors. Tim's got a huge motor. He plays early because he can absorb a whole four quarters of footy and he can play 80-odd%, whereas some come in and they can only play 65. So he's been there from the start. Great pre-season. He's strong. He'll play midfield, clearly. He'll run all day. He likes to push forward and use his aerial skills. So, he's got a huge task today because there's a lot of mids at Essendon that are going to roll through there.
What sort of pre-season has one of my favourites, Toby Green, had, Bakes?
Yeah, look, he had it indifferent early because we had to put him under the knife. We gave him a bit of rest and it didn't work. So, but he's been running for he started running about December 28th. And then he's been full training for about 5 weeks, played JLT2 for about 60% and then played the intra-club the week after. So, look, he probably by about round three, I reckon he'll hit his straps. So, as you know, he's so competitive and he'll want to be out there all day today.
Hey, Leon, what was your take on Devin Smith's comments a couple of weeks ago when he said that Dylan Shiel would be pretty flat or disappointed to be making his Essendon debut up here at the GWS graveyard? Did you find that disrespectful?
No. I mean, look, obviously Devin's been here for 6-7 years and, he's a popular member of our footy club. We don't like to lose players, but that's the modern game now. There's free agency and trade and all that sort of stuff. But not really. I mean, he'll chip away. He does that to probably most footy clubs because he plays on edge, and most of your players you actually want to play on edge. So we didn't look into it too much. I think a lot of other people looked into it a little bit more than what we did.
Hey Baker, you just mentioned before that the Bombers have a pretty deep midfield. You've got two really important guys that aren't playing today, and Josh Kelly and also Callum Ward. So who are you looking to step up to combat the Bombers midfield?
Yeah, you're right, Swatter. I mean, you've got captain and vice captain out, which is not ideal, but what it does create is a great opportunity for Lockie Whitfield, who will spend a lot more time around the footy. I mean, obviously Hopper, Taranto, Cornelio will be in there a lot. Deledio, will come off a wing and spend some time in the middle. Young Daniel Lloyd, who's been with us for 3 or 4 years now, he's had a really good pre-season. He's predominantly made his name forward, but there's no doubt, 5 minute stints a quarter, he'll be in amongst it as well.
Hey, Bakes, I heard Woosha during the pre-season say that He's going to throw his centre square players around a lot. He's going to give a lot of guys with speed opportunities in the middle of the ground. Is that the way you're looking at it also?
Look, it all depends on your lineup, I suppose, Dark. I mean, if you've got, if you're batting with seven or eight midfielders that are just bona fide mids, then you can throw them around a lot and throw them in from the wing on ball. If there's one or two sitting in the forward line, there's no doubt you can throw them in there as well. I mean, we've sort of brought more concentrated on probably a select four or five that get the job done because we feel as though that their craft in there is exceptional. But in saying that, you know, when Kelly comes back in and you've got Whitfield, there's no doubt a speed factor, one or two speedy guys in there can help you have a really clear break. And when you get a clear break, as you know, you're probably kicking it from 0 to 10 down your end.
Love your work and appreciate your time, Coach. Best of luck to you and the GWS Giants this afternoon.
Good on you guys. Cheers.
Leon Cameron joining us from the sidelines, the coach of the Giants.
Just a quick one.
Yes.
I want to ask you after the break, is GWS's premiership window closed? I want to know, Duff. Marinate on that one.
Okay, marinate. I like it. Like a good bit of chicken.
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs Pub Quiz.
Oh, yes, the quiz is back. Jay-Z is the champ after we went into finals mode last year.
Two-time champ, Howie.
Two-time champ. So we've had it for 2 years. You won Elvis.
Another reason why Roosie left, didn't like the quiz.
We can talk an hour and a half of football. General interest in the box. The quiz comes on. Duck's pacing around. Schwatter stood up and got off.
Nah, because he'll accuse me of being able to see your screen, mate.
All right. So, you know the rules. If you haven't heard this before, well, you're about the only person in Australia that listens to football radio. That's how big it was. Test your buzzers, please, Schwatter.
Swatter, swatter.
Duck?
Duck, duck.
Jay-Z, Jay-Z?
Back to back.
Oh, we got Pops Kelly on the sidelines, a man we wanted to speak to. So we'll pause the quiz. Oh. James Kelly, welcome to the Sunday Rub. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm very well.
Hey, great to speak to you. We're about to roll into the quiz. Do you want me to ask you the first question or not?
You can if you want, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, Pops. Your buzzer is Pops Pops. Okay. All the boys are in. Who is awarded the McClellan Trophy?
Swatter, swatter. I don't know.
Go, Pops.
Yeah, nah, no idea.
Back to back. That doesn't count because you brought Pops into it. We've got a guest on. Shut up, you clown.
What is the McClellan Trophy?
It's the pre-season premiere.
No, oh, is
duck, 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 duck. It's the who finishes on the top
of the home and away.
That is it. Duck takes the first point of the season.
Anyway, thanks
for joining us, Pops. Great. Good luck. No.
Cheers for that.
Mate, how's the transition been out of being a player to being a coach?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, actually. I think it's a little while into it now, which is good, but at the time I was ready to finish. I'd had enough of playing, and mentally I was pretty done with trying to get myself up every week and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I knew I wanted to coach was the other part of it, so it was easy. I think a lot of guys finish and they're a little bit unsure of what they want to do, and then that gets made worse because they don't actually want to finish. So I hit a really nice sweet spot, and the good part of it is I had one practice at it, so I'm lucky enough to retire twice and figured it out the second time.
Hey, what's been the biggest challenge for you, James, going from player to coach?
To be honest with you, working a whole day. That, like,
welcome to the real world.
You know, like, yeah, you sort of, you don't give it much thought, but, you know, you get into the club at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and you're done by 1, 2 o'clock, and you've got your afternoon, and albeit you're physically tired, and there's mental stress that's involved in that, but actually doing that when the players are there, then when the players leave, having to go into meetings and sit down at your desk, and there's actual work to do after that. It actually took me a little while to adjust to not just running around all day. So it sounds ridiculous. I sound like a peanut saying it, but I've never worked a day in my life.
You're obviously missing your spearhead, Joe Danaher, for this game, but also at the back end, your other bookend, that's Cale Hooker, James, is going to be missing. Just tell us about the structure at either end because you're missing two very important players today.
Yeah, we are. It's unfortunate. You know, those guys, it's obviously the worst time to get injured in pre-season. Joe's had a bit of a long road that he's been going down, so it's unfortunate for him and disappointing. But for us, we're really happy with where we're at the moment, even though they're not in the team. Paddy Ambrose comes in and sort of fills that back position for us, and Horst McKernan comes in at the other end, and both of those guys have had fantastic pre-season seasons, and we've got full confidence that they can do the job for us. It'll get tricky when Hooksy and Joe need to come back in, and that's when we'll sort of have a bit of a problem on our hands, but at the moment, we're really happy with where the team's at.
I've brought this up a couple of times now, but I heard Woosher during the pre-season say that he's going to throw those players around in the centre square, give the likes of Tip and Woody and Fantasia and all these guys at different stages a run on the ball. Do you see that happening a lot today?
Absolutely, mate. We feel like our ability to spin players through the midfield, especially guys with speed, is a weapon that we've got up our sleeve. We used it late in games last year. We always sort of came back late in games. We put our speed guys around the ball, try to get the ball in a bit of space. And statistically, Raz and Waller are some of our best clearance players because they're so quick at getting out and getting on those loose balls. So they're the same. They've had really good pre-seasons and they can handle a bit more load through the middle, so we'll use them as often as we can.
Pops, we appreciate your time. Best luck to you on the Bombers today.
Cheers, guys. Have a good call.
James Kelly from the Essendon Football Club. Not really that good at the quiz, but, you know, Duck's got a point. Because the McLellan Trophy is named for the team that finishes the home and away season on top of the ladder. All right, part B of general knowledge of the pub quiz.
Hold on. Hey, put your phone down.
I'm just checking the St Kilda Gold Coast.
Well, what is it? Hurry.
It's the Suns up. The Saints up by 13 points.
Turn your phone over.
Okay. All right, part B, the minor premier question. Which is the oldest club currently in the AFL to have never finished a season minor premiers? Duck, duck.
I'm going to go with the Cats.
Okay.
Swatter.
Mm.
The Western Bulldogs.
Correct. Swatter gets his season underway nicely.
Don't you know that, Swatter? That's a weird one.
I know my stuff.
Okay.
Blast from the past. Who was the captain of Collingwood immediately after Nathan...
Backer.
Duck. Wow.
That was like
right out of
a real quack.
Burns.
Scott
That's actually
Burns
a good get. That's a really good get.
Nick
well
Maxwell
done.
Took over in 2009. Good ducky boy. I guess the year.
Hey, Ant, test his buzzer.
Back to back.
Okay, he started slowly last year. He got you both in the finals. Okay, so this is where you've got to guess what year these events occurred in. Nicely done by Will. A bit of a twist on the quiz. North Melbourne in this year won the Ansett Cup. Tony Lockett moved from St Kilda to Sydney.
What was that?
That's a real,
that was a quack.
That's the quack.
That was a quack.
95.
Oh, yes. And the first ever Anzac Day clash between Collingwood and Essendon. Duck quack is sort of what he went with. And he's currently 3 to Jay-Z yet to score. Should have, what a one.
Should have won the Michael Tuck. But
Wow. Audio round. Okay. I take you back. Who is being referred to in this clip?
Big fly bird. Can he roll it through? He can.
Back.
Cometh the moment. Cometh the champion.
Jay-Z went first.
Was that
Duck Duck
Burton?
No.
Duck. It'd be...
I hit the buzzer.
Buddy.
No.
Can I have the audio again, please?
Yes, you can.
Oh, why?
Hey. Big fly bird. Could he roll it through? He can. Cometh the moment. Cometh the champion.
No.
Can I have another go?
2012 grand final, Adam Burgle. Goods against the Hawks on pretty much one leg after he hurt his knee. Oh, sponsors. Now, this is where Duck was always good because he always got a clip of everything that went through the North Melbourne doors. Which company was the AFL's naming rights sponsor in 1992?
Ooh.
Duck.
I would say Coca-Cola.
No, but right sort of area. Anything from the two compadres?
Swatter.
Yes.
Foster's.
No, very close.
Back to back.
Yes.
CUB.
Yes, it was CUB. Jay-Z gets on the board. Part B, which company was North Melbourne's major sponsor in the year 2000? What? We got Daffy Duck on board.
That'd be Mazda.
It was. Ducks 4, Jay-Z's 1, Schwatter's 1, but plenty to come. In the news, which senior AFL... I like the way you've done this, Will. Which senior AFL coach signed a contract extension...
Back to back.
Schwatter.
Back to back. He's gone back
Sit
to back.
Down, mate.
Simon Goodwin.
Yes, it was. Swatter 1, Jay-Z 2, Duck 4, but now we get to the who am I. Once you come in, you cannot have any more than one answer. One guess, you can't guess again. For the 5 points.
This was Roosie, former colleague of ours. This was his forte.
This is where he swooped. Mm. I was born January 4, 1978 and played for 2 clubs. I am a 2-time best and fairest winner.
Back to back.
Oh, wow.
Peter Bell.
No. Or Duck.
Burgoyne.
No. Schwatter, to win it, if you get it on the next answer, you win.
No, I don't.
Three-pointer. Yeah, you do. You're on two.
I'm one.
Oh, you're one. So you need to get this to tie. I played 10 games for Sydney before playing a further 182 for Collingwood from 97 to 2007.
Keep going.
Sydney to Collingwood.
Keep reading it.
Shall I move on?
Yes.
No. No, that's not.
Keep reading it on.
Keep going.
I came third in the 2008 series of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, Brodie Holland.
Oh. No.
Quack, Paul Curia.
It is, but you don't get any points for that. Hey, quack boy, you're one up. You had the win, Duck.
Paul Curia.
Well done. Well done. Duck takes a 1-0 lead. Benny Dixon joins us from our sponsor, BetEasy.
I know that because remember Duck TV?
I do remember Duck TV. We used to watch it. We should bring Duck TV back where Duck reviews all sorts of things in the world.
What's Dicko up to?
Oh, he's joining us from our mates at BetEasy. Now, Dicko, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, Harry. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good, thanks, brother. Now, some punters see this season as a now or never for the Giants. Are they given any chance of winning the flag, please?
Well, they're currently $17. They're 21 into 17, so there's been a little bit of support around. But Essendon also at the $13, so a lot shorter than the Giants. But they've always been up there, and they're a chance to be there again. So the punters see a little bit of value. $17 currently, Howie, and after today's game might be a bit shorter.
Oh, Dicko, a lot of upsets this weekend. What are the Bombers today?
They're 205, Duck, and the Giants are $1.80, but the line's 3.5. So the punters are taking the plus 3.5, just a little bit of insurance at $1.91. But there's been some good support for Essendon in this, no doubt about it.
Dicko, long time since these two teams played out a thriller. What about the odds for a close finish?
Well, we've got the 1 to 39, 260. So I'm talking about value with a little bit of juice at plus 3.5, $1.91. But there's plenty of punters just going. It's going to be tight. So they want a little bit of insurance as well at $2.60 for the tight game here. And as I mentioned, the Giants had a little bit of early support in the week, but the late rush has been with the Dons.
Guru, Jay here. Scores have been down a little bit, I must admit, over round one so far. Who do you like to be first goal kicker today?
Yeah, well, who would have thought Brisbane would be the first team to score 100 over the weekend? But Jeremy Cameron, $8, favourite. Toby Green, $10. And Himmelberg, $13. And that's pretty much your market because Jakey Stringer was $9. He's in from $13. So I left him till last because he's been the big mover there. He'll be in the goal square and hopefully get the Joe the Goose to just fill the punter's boots up in the first quarter.
Thanks, Dicko, and always remember to gamble responsibly.
Thanks, boys. Have a good call.
Nice to have Benny Dixon on from BetEasy. Round the grounds, a couple of games taking place at the moment.
Extraordinary game happening in the women's, Howie. The preliminary final, Adelaide currently leading Geelong 55 points to nothing. It's the Crows, 8-7-55 to Geelong, no score, with 6 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. As if we ever...
Which is why those divisions in the women's...
conferences.
Yeah, the conference was absolutely ridiculous.
Those big bets need to change.
Adelaide will host Carlton next Sunday, and you'll hear that leading into the Sunday rub on Triple M Football.
Wasn't Taylor good?
Yes, it was.
You think Adelaide start favourite to take out the AFLW Premiership. And at Marvel Stadium, it's St Kilda leading Gold Coast by 13 points at halftime. The Saints 9-4-58 leading Gold Coast 7-3-45. Timmy Membry bagged a couple of goals for the Saints.
Why haven't we covered the prelim?
Because we're doing the Sunday rub, but we will be doing the grand final.
We'll be doing
next week.
We will be doing the grand final next Sunday. Hey, now obviously Roosey has departed over the off season.
Mm.
So there is a position available. Mm. And this position is sitting next to Wayne Carey. It's with Wayne Schwash and Jay Clark on a show that rated very well last year. And
Number one.
And, well, it was that, comfortably. And also it was voted by the AFL media as the best show in football. Normally we make these things up, but that's actually true for the first time. So this is a big shoes, big seat, big position to fill. It's basically like Bogut coming into the Warriors. You're on the way to a premiership.
Yep.
Schwatter, give me one quality you're looking for in the person that I get for us this week to appear next week.
Strong views.
Strong views? Duck?
Oh, yeah, just to bring a personality.
So strong views, personality, Jay-Z.
Good humour.
Yeah.
Humour.
Some generosity. Occasionally we go out for beers and that afterwards, or we might be on the road and, you know, just have a quiet chat and that afterwards. So,
okay. So you know,
shout at the bar.
You don't want a tight bottom.
Righto.
We want someone social.
But what about you, boss?
Oh, just someone that would carry a bit of the load for me. At some stage, it'd be nice. All right, leave it with me this week. Send us a Tweety or an Insta or a Facebookie at Triple M Footy.
Who should join us?
Who should join us? Mm-hmm. But you remember, like, we just can't go and poach someone from a rival network.
Can't be your AM sort of operator.
No, no.
Got to have a little bit of that.
Someone entertaining.
Spunk about him.
I've got a couple of names that I've got in my head that I think might be required.
Give us something.
Well, no, I don't want to give too much away. There's a bit of a budgetary issue. Although from what Roosie was getting paid last year, there's plenty left in the cap from what I can imagine. So what I'm saying is next Sunday we are going to have a fifth member.
A new face.
A new face.
Well, I hope
Yes.
Is it a trial? We're going to give them one game and see what happens?
No, half a preview.
Oh, no, there you go.
Half a preview. Like I said, you're stepping into the Golden State Warriors. All right, plenty to come, including next Jay-Z's Big Three. And if you're wondering, I'm Steph Curry, not Doug, all right? Plenty to come here from Giants Stadium.
I'm Durant.
Oh, yeah, sure you are. And Jay-Z's that little bloke that runs out the Gatorade.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Yeah, best stinger in world football, Jay-Z's Big Three. You're listening to the Sunday Huddle for Code Tire. This is the Triple M Footy Preview. Call Code Tire 13 15 52 and make it happen. Mark Howard is here. Wayne Carey, Wayne Schwoss, and the guru, Jay Clark.
Where is the duck gone? He's sort of popped out for a second.
Yes. He's just gone to powder his nose.
Okay, he'll be back. Hey, just before we get to the Big Three, I want to ask you first, Schwatter.
Hold on. Just getting word from our intrepid producer, Will, that Howie's just referred to the Sunday Rub as the Sunday Huddle. You're on Sundays, mate.
Sorry.
You're on Sundays.
Sorry.
That B-grade sort of operator stuff you do on a Friday night, leave it there.
Sunday.
Turn up here with the stuff.
Okay. Sunday, rub it is.
We're going to put out...
Friday huddle's going pretty well, though.
Put my serious hat on for 1 second, Schwatter, because I think you are the most respected and credible person to talk about this in football in Australia, because we know last week the reports came out that Jesse Hogan would not be considered for selection in round one for this afternoon's game against North Melbourne because he'd made poor choices around alcohol, and that was because he suffered, the club said, clinical anxiety. Now, they stuffed up a bit there. They should have just called it anxiety. But then I reckon it was a real challenge for the industry to report this in a way which was respectful to Hogan but also offering fair and reasonable criticism of the trade, because clearly they don't want him in the sidelines for round one. So I'm interested in your take in how we are going as an industry reporting on mental health at the moment, because you think that we've need to lift.
I have for a long time. We spoke about this on Thursday night before the Carlton-Richmond game. And I did say that I felt that as an industry we're maturing, and I still believe we're maturing as an industry. I don't believe, in fact, I'm convinced that us in the media, and I'm putting myself in this same category, we don't understand it enough. We don't have the base level education to be able to have a conversation constructively. And I'm absolutely shocked and disappointed with conversations that I was invited into Thursday night at the footy from people that work in the industry asking me two overriding questions. One, when is it the appropriate time for clubs to sack players with mental health?
Oof.
And two, should clubs be recruiting players to their club with mental health issues? I tell you the broader issue that I've got here, and that is, if we're going to terminate players because they've got legitimate mental health conditions, that sends a terrible message to the player, and it sends a terrible message to the broader community. And what that really means is we're discriminating. And if we're going to make decisions not to recruit players because we know that they have a mental health condition, why are we recruiting players like Dan Hannanbury, who is physically broken down and needs to be, as the club has termed, rebuilt? We take risks all the time. And I've got no doubt, and I haven't spoken to Fremantle, I've got no doubt that in part of their due diligence, they believe they have the people and the resources and the environment to help Jesse Hogan be the best footballer whilst at the same time supporting him with these conditions.
Do you support Fremantle's decision to not play him in round one?
100%.
Can you explain that then?
100%. Because they've got to make decisions which are in the best interest, one, of Jesse's ongoing health. And if football's not the number one priority because there are health issues, absolutely that's the right decision to make. But they also have to make decisions to uphold the standards that they've created and they live by within the broader club. And I think, I'm not sure who termed this phrase, I can't remember it. Ross might have even termed it. You support the player, challenge the behaviour.
Yep.
And I've been strong on this. When we're under emotional stress, we will make poor decisions. I'm not saying that they're right. And I've made many bad decisions and poor decisions. But we've got to understand that when people are under significant emotional stress, they will make decisions that are potentially poor or negative. They've got to accept responsibility for that, but we've also got to make sure that we give that person the appropriate support they need to get healthy and well again.
Good call, Schwatter. I always like listening to you speak about this sort of space. Duck, can I ask you about Tim Kelly and his worth? Because Geelong was criticised for not granting his family's wishes to release him in a trade back to West Coast last year. Geelong knocked back the offer of picks 20 and 22 from West Coast. What is he worth in terms of a trade? Because Joey Montagna said on Dead Set Legends on Saturday that he was a better player than Dylan Shiel.
Going up by the minute. He's a superstar, isn't he? But let's not forget, he's at a footy club that has fantastic leadership.
Correct.
And he's got great players around him. Now, I loved him, but beware of if he went to West Coast, who's got, you know, they've got a good on-board brigade as well, so he'd get support there as well, and they're obviously a premiership team, good team. But if he went to somewhere like Fremantle right now, it'd be a little bit of a different kettle of fish. It'd be a little bit more pressure on him. He's a superstar. He's a gun. So to answer your question, anywhere between $700 and $1 million, to be honest.
Wow.
Good king.
And what should West Coast have to give up for him?
Hang on. You were trying to get blokes $1 million last year that couldn't get a kick in a street fight.
But what should West Coast should have to
couldn't
give up?
Couldn't get a kick in a street fight, according to the Duck.
And this bloke can actually really play.
Is he a top 10 pick? Would you, if you were Geelong, would you want a top 10 pick for him?
Yeah, I reckon I would. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But is West Coast, I mean, is West Coast in front? Of both of the WA teams, if he was to go, who would be the leader in that two-horse race?
Well, his preference was West Coast last year. He didn't even want to sit down at the negotiating table with Fremantle, but I think that
I don't reckon his coach is going to enjoy being repeatedly asked about whether or not he'll stay or go. Yesterday's Friday night's presser was any indication.
He's a bit spicy, wasn't he? Hey, Alex Rance goes down with a season-ending knee injury. We know he's been probably the best defender in the competition over the past 5 years. Now it falls on, the responsibility falls on Dylan Grimes and David Asprey, and a young bloke in his third season, Ryan Garthwaite. I think the Tigers got him with pick 62, played a couple of games last year. He's going to clearly step up in that absence. They take on Collingwood, Duck. A repeat of last year's preliminary final, the Pies' shock win. Can Richmond still win the flag without Alex Rance?
Yes, yes, and yes. And
how are they going to do it?
Mason Cox will be disappointed.
West Coast won a flag key personnel.
They didn't have Gaff, Natanui, they had more injuries than anyone. What about Collingwood's injuries last year? What about GWS's injuries last year?
Well, the Tigers have only won two of their last 12 games.
The Tigers haven't had an injury for 2 years. Alex Rance is a champion. Yes, they will miss him because he's a champion. Should they be able to cover him? Absolutely. And yes, they can win it.
System will cover the loss. And I think also they've added Tommy Lynch inside their forward 50. I mean, he's a big loss, but they've got some great players across all lines. I think they are still 100% in my own mind, based on what we know, a top four lock.
I agree with that.
He's got too much talent.
And that's one injury. All those clubs that I mentioned had way more than
tell
that.
Tell you what I really admired was just his outlook.
Yeah.
I mean, that was phenomenal.
Freakish.
Just phenomenal. All about the players. I got a great life. I'm lucky. I should be grateful. I'm not going to complain.
Whole new level.
Yep,
He took it to a whole new level. And you sit there because we've all had injury swatter when we played. And to sit there and to see the way he – I actually sat in awe. I sat in awe. And just clapped.
Yep.
Brilliant. Mm. Brilliant. Brilliant person.
Robbo's number one player in his top 50 this year was the Fremantle captain, Nat Fyfe. Is that a fair call? Do we all agree that he's the number one player in the competition?
No, but I think you could throw a blanket over a number of players. He's in the argument. Mm.
Subjective.
Yeah. Mick Malthouse said in today's Sunday Herald Sun that his defensive side of his game was deplorable and that there was a major deficiency
was Nathan Buckley's.
Is that fair criticism or not?
Is Dusty Martin's defensive side of his game there?
Yep. No.
It's not a puzzle.
He said Fyfe has to become a more complete player. Is that fair or not?
If he changes his game plan, they lose more.
There's not too many gun midfielders that are gun defensively.
Yeah.
Because their strength is to set their team up.
So if you're Ross Lyon, what are you saying to Nat Fyfe? Worry about your man or not?
I'm saying to Nat Fyfe, grab the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, correct.
The new rules, Duck. I know we're only five or six.
Hang on, just one little input from me for a moment there. Mm-hmm. Your top 50 with Robbo, mm-hmm. how does it work? Is it a general office discussion, or does Robbo just lock himself away and then come up with a top 50 solo?
He probably talks about it for about 2 weeks. Probably puts about 2 weeks into it. A lot of conversation in the office. Yep.
It is very subjective, the top 50s. I mean, there was one
talking point, though.
There was one man that did it very well, Mike Sheehan. I was number one about 8 years ago.
Duck.
But no, it's subjective. It really is. I mean, we all look at it, and I must admit I didn't have a close look at it, but I did notice or heard Robbo say that he thought Mason Cox was 51. And I found that interesting. So he's going, I think he's taking that off the back of a final last year.
So if you could.
Please, Robbo, please. Give us a spell.
So he's not 51.
No.
Is he in the top 200?
That's why it's subjective. So if you could pick one player, Duck, in the competition, you can pick one player to join the new Wagga Kangaroos. Who is it?
It's a good question.
Dusty?
I'll take one of the... you know who I'm... talk about sit in awe. Paddy Cripps the other night.
Mm.
Wowee.
A good call.
What a player he is.
How tall
and when he gets him? And when he gets that ability, that mix right swatter where he drifts forward and hits the scoreboard a bit more, I think Paddy Cripps will be the number one player in the competition by the end of this year and beyond. Oh. He is a bona fide star.
So Duck is taking Paddy Cripps. Who are you taking?
Oh, I think the man you just mentioned.
Nat Fyfe?
No. Dustin Martin.
Dustin Martin for you, Jay-Z?
Yeah, I'd probably have Dusty. I think he can do things that some other players can't. Is that fair?
So Dusty, Paddy Cripps?
Who do you take?
All right. We'll ask you, mate.
Who do you think?
Hodgie. Played well last night up in the Brisbane.
Good on you.
Did Hodgie.
And just quickly before we finish, we implemented these new rules to try and free up the game to increase scoring. But I think the average score across the round so far has been 149 or 150 points, which is a 20-30 point drop on the averages.
It'll
just...
But I'll tell you why.
Keep your powder dry,
you why.
Sunshine.
This first round, and like I said earlier in on today's show, the skill level swatter has been deplorable.
Mm.
So, you know, and the missed goals in front, like Pendlebury, Treloar, side bottom, straight in front and kicking them out on the full. So once the skills get better, the scores will go up.
I reckon we just wait until we get to about round six. Then we can have a better
interesting discussion throughout the first week. Can GWS win the flag, Duck? Or is the premiership window closed?
I think anyone... that finished, I think there's 14 teams that can finish in the top eight. So if you finish in the top eight, then you can win the flag.
The premiership window closed?
So to answer your question, yes, they can.
They would have to have everything go their way. I don't think they can win the flag.
Howie?
Well, hang on. First time 3 years asked, what was the question? I just zone out when you talk because you never ask me a question. Can who? GWS win the flag?
Has their premiership window closed?
No, of course it hasn't. Of course it hasn't.
That's why we don't ask you questions.
Well, it hasn't.
We agree.
Duck and I are on the right page here. Now, full time. Big fight back by the Cats in the preliminary final in the women's football. Adelaide 11-7-73. Geelong 1-1-7. So they did kick a goal of the Cats, but they go down by 66 points. Congratulations to the Crows. They will host the Carlton Football Club in next week's AFLW Grand Final.
At Adelaide Oval?
Sunday.
Yep. Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
Yes, it is. So, and that will be on Triple M Football. So that is something to look forward to.
That is fantastic because that is an amazing stadium. So to have the grand final there, that's worked out really well.
Well done to the girls.
Yep.
The Saints hold a slender 6-point lead over Gold Coast down there at Marvel. St Kilda 9-4-58, leading Gold Coast 8-4-52. About 10 minutes left in the third quarter.
Got a good game.
You mentioned Taylor Harris and how well she played yesterday. It took that to bring it to a head. But the fact people at the moment, this week, are looking at the way people are interacting on social media, Swatter, and are starting to say, you just can't deal like that, about time.
No, 10 years too late.
Yeah, I think it is. So it's good that that's the impetus to get things going. Shut up, the footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks footy.